Hey guys, it's Kathy the Crafty Chica here with a new episode of the Crafty Chica Show. I have a special guest with me, one of my favorite all-time friends, Candy Ramirez, also known as Candy Queen Bee Baker. Hi, Candy.
Hi, that was so sweet of you. Thank you.
Candy and I have already been talking on the phone for an hour already. We never run out of stuff to talk about. And what I love about Candy is that she is also an entrepreneur. She's very passionate about baking, not only baking with flour and baking a cake and icing, but just the whole metaphor of baking, of pulling together all the best ingredients to have the best tasty life that you can have. And she shares her tips on her Instagram stories, on her Facebook page. She's just so open about everything, about what it takes to run a business and juggle everything that's going on. And Candy, why don't you give us, give our listeners a rundown of how you got started into making your cakes and your big, I guess, turning point that got you to where you are now?
First of all, let me say that was an amazing intro.
Aww. Those
metaphors were wonderful. You're so good with words. My love of baking came at a very early age. My great-grandmother raised me and my brother. My great-grandmother and my great-grandfather, they were very old school. You're talking about they were born in the 1918s, they grew up in the 1930s, 40s. So they were very old school, and I'm very grateful for that, because we got to, learn how to pluck chickens, learn how to, everything was, handmade. My grandma, she, sewed my clothes. She made mine and my brother's clothes. My grandpa, he went hunting to go get the food. She baked for church, and that's where the love of baking. I do like to cook, but I love baking and creating more. But that's where the love came from, because she was always baking or cooking. Always. And, I took that in a very young age, and I learned it. I cracked my egg at age one. And
wow.
I know. I mean, I don't remember this. I was told this, but I'm pretty sure I was pretty savvy with egg cracking when I was one. we got to have the old-fashioned upbringing. I mean, it was a Mexican household, but it wasn't your typical Mexican household. I think because we were the next generation of grandkids, that it was a little different. I mean, we probably got more preferential treatment, but we still had the Mexican culture of, the holidays, the traditions, mm-hmm. The foods. And, my grandma, she gave birth to nine children. So she and my grandpa are always going to be my heroes, and they are the root of what I have started, and I am never going to give up, because if they were able to do it in the Great Depression with nine kids, working their butts off to feed all these children at less than minimum, I am forever grateful, because they are the reason that I am here.
Mm-hmm.
So that's where the love of my baking came from, is from, my grandma baking in home and baking for the church, and she loved it. She loved doing that.
Wonderful. And then what about professionally? How did you make that segue into doing it professionally?
So I lost the love of baking when our mother moved us here to Tucson. So we were in a small town called Douglas, Arizona, and we were moved, I believe, when I was seven, eight years old, and we were moved over here. So I didn't really get the interaction with my great-grandmother whom I consider my mother, I didn't get that interaction like I used to. So my love of baking or creating or being creative kind of fell off. So did, you know, just the mindset or the concept of doing that just for fun. It was more me and my brother, you know, we were moved over here. We had to fend for ourselves and we had to grow up pretty fast. So the baking aspect or even thinking of owning a business or having a bakery or brick and mortar or anything went away for a very, very long time. It wasn't until I would say 11, 12 years ago, I was 20. Oh man, I'm not doing the math, but I had a 3-year-old son already and, trying to figure out the world. I went through a lot of stuff and, you know, we go through our struggles and, you know, a lot of stuff I have to take accountability for. I made a lot of mistakes.
Like we all do, right?
Oh, yes. Yes. And, you know, the greatest gift is learning from your mistakes and taking accountability for your actions. I love learning and I learn a lot of stuff when I talk to you. And that is the beauty of life, is you never stop learning. No one knows everything. And just getting that, I mean, I don't know for you, but it gives me like some sort of weird high. I know that sounds bad, but it gives me a sort of a good like endorphin. Like my endorphins are just like, yes, when I learn something.
Yes, I totally get you. I totally am the same way. Because it's, you feel enlightened and then you're excited to go apply what you learned.
Yes. Oh my God. That, and then just like, have you ever been stuck on something and then you finally figured it out? And that is like the greatest feeling.
Yes. Oh, yes.
So I went through a lot of that in my, my childhood, my teen years and a little bit of my adulthood. I don't know, is 20 technically an adult? I feel like you're still a kid at 20.
Yeah.
Maybe, I don't know. But I had a 3-year-old son, and, you know, I found myself on hard times. I became homeless, and it was me and my son, and I was going from friend to friend's house. And that, I think it was like a afternoon. I asked my friend, I said, hey, you know, I have this idea. This is when cake pops were just like hitting the market.
Mm-hmm.
Cake pop was, and fondant cakes were getting big. So I took my last $10, walked to Walmart, bought a cake mix, bought some frosting. I bought everything I needed for, it was like $9.48. I went to my friend's house. I baked cake pops. I made them. I bagged them up. I put my name and my phone number. Now, mind you, it was not fancy. It was all handwritten. It was very home style, homemade. And I went back to that Walmart the following day, and I gave them away. I made about 40 cake pops, and I don't know if it was something that my grandmother said, because I really can't recall, or if it was something that I heard, but I can't remember, that kindness is always the answer.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't read a lot of books. I heard a lot of more of the radio, but again, I don't remember where I heard it. So I heard kindness is the answer. I was like, on my last $20, I wouldn't say I lost all hope, but I kind of was just in a big pickle where, what am I going to do? I'm living out of my car with my son, and I don't want to go back to this bad situation. You know, there was just so much going on in my head that I had to figure out what I wanted to do as a person. And the answer that came and that popped into my head is, you know, I've always been a kind person. Why all of a sudden was I was I in this predicament? I mean, it was really something that I had to think about that I never thought about to myself, because I was go, 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 survival mode.
Mm-hmm.
I have to take care of my kid. I have to take care of myself. I was the one that always brought, you know, paid for the bills, and everyone lived under one roof, and I was the only one that worked. I also was going to college until, you know, till I became homeless. So I think something deep down inside of me said, do something for others. I don't know why that came about, but I just, you know, the only thing I could think of to do for others was going back to my roots of baking. And because I also wanted to learn this new cake pop trend, I, you know, made them. They weren't that great, but I made them, and I gave them out at Walmart, and I met this other lady who was selling tamales. it was just, you know, a lot of people wouldn't have done that because for them it would be degrading, you know.
Yeah.
And a lot of people didn't believe me, like friends and family. They said, you never did that. I never told anyone that. I was ashamed. I was like, why would I be out? And, you know, I felt like a panhandler.
But it was different though, because you were offering your services. Like, that's, you were giving out samples of showing what you could do, where they could hire you. That's great publicity.
And that's how I think about it now. But it took every ounce of courage to do that. And, you know, some people were skeptical. I mean, there's this girl holding her baby, giving out cake pops for free. You know, that's kind of strange. But you know, I was able to give them all away the next day on my flip phone. Remember those?
Yes.
On my flip phone. I got a couple phone calls, and I got this one phone call that I'll never forget, but I can't remember his name. He was an older gentleman. He, you know, he called me and he said, I just wanted to let you know, I would love to order a dozen of these things. What are they called? I said, cake pops. He said, they're delicious. I've never had them. He said, I was contemplating suicide. My wife had just passed away a week before he gave me the cake pops. And I'd been lonely and I didn't know what to do with my life. So that right was my turning point. It was like a life's mission at that point, that I knew that this was my calling. Not necessarily, you know, like aha moment, like this is mm-hmm. it. It was more of a spiritual, like
it's like you found it. Like you just know when something connects, something it's meant to be. It's like a jolt through your body, but then it's peaceful at the same time because you feel like you're home. I know that feeling too. I know exactly what you're talking about.
100%. And I'm getting the chills as I speak about it, because at that moment, at that time, I didn't know what it was. I mean, my spirit, my soul, my inner being knew what it was, but because I was just in that haze of, you know, trying to get money to pay for rent and do this and do that, you know, but like deep down inside, I said, I have to follow this path because obviously this was chosen for me.
Mm-hmm.
And if I don't follow this path, it's going to be harder. So I didn't follow that path. So, you know, it took me a couple more years to get hit in the head, you know,
but at least it was a start. It was like a cake pop moment of the big cake of your life. It was that first bite.
And that's what I try to emphasize with a lot of people, you know. A lot of the girls that I do talk to at shows or at, you know, the cake classes that I have, I like to do like an hour of, like this year it's called Café y Conchas with Candy. I like to have like an hour of just talking to them, you know, business, mom life, you mm-hmm. know, what is deterring you from going to that next step? Because if I had someone like that at 20, 21, I think my life would have been a little more easier for me to make a decision going down the better path. Does that make sense?
Yes. And, you know, a lot of it is, I don't know if it's society or culture, in that if you do something that you love, it's like you should feel guilty about it. Like you have to sacrifice and work someplace that you hate to show how much you love your family. And I think the tide has turned, because I think women now are realizing the best thing they can do is follow what they love and make a career and a life out of it, because it makes you a happier person. And everyone knows if mom's not happy, no one is happy. And it just makes you happier altogether. And I so I know where you're coming from, of like feeling like, oh, is this the right thing? Or is this too weird? Baking for a living? Is that, can that really happen?
Mm-hmm. Well, and back then, you know, baking was very, it was, you have a brick and mortar, that means you're a baker. You
know? Right. And, yes.
You know, back then the home bakers were just the moms that baked for school or baked for the churches or a function. So, no, you hit the nail on the head as far as you got to please everyone else, especially in the Hispanic community. You have to put everyone else before your own needs.
Yes, so, and especially with cake pops, too, like, I remember I made them for my daughter's birthday. This was 2011. And my husband's family came over and they were like, what are those? Like, no one touched them. And I'm like, they're really good, I promise. And finally, one of my little cousins, she like skipped over and she picked one up and then she took a bite out of it and she goes, oh my God, this is good. And then the other little cousin ran over, picked one up and she got one. And then everyone was eating the cake pops. And like, just for our culture, like there, we were used to like traditional cakes or cupcakes. And I mean, right. Cake pops, they were a game changer because no one knew what the heck they were when they came out. It's like, why would you have a cake on a stick, you know? And then you eat it. It's like, oh, wow, I want 10 of these.
Yeah. Oh, my God. Yeah. Everyone was like, what in the world are these? But, you know, with time, everyone progresses and figures out, okay, this actually tastes good.
Yes, and you can get so creative. And what did all of that lead to? Like, what are some of the just really amazing moments in your career that you are just so proud of when you think, wow, I started there and this is what it led to?
I would say my first big moment would be the day I almost did not meet Nelly Galan.
Oh.
And that was a huge, again, I had no idea who she was. I was just a mom. Someone asked for a cake. Then they told me it was, you know, for this big one of the biggest Latina entrepreneurs in America, and that they needed it shaped like this. And of course I said yes. I needed the money. And then when I researched her, I got nervous. I got really nervous. And then when they sent me the directions and the instructions and they told me it was an event, all these women in corporate suits, or, you know, or women that bought these tickets for $300, and I'm over here in jeans and a chef coat. Oh, man, I went around the venue 3 times and I was about to leave. And the woman who, and she's my friend now, the woman who ordered the cake called me and said, I see your car outside. I'll be right there to help you. And then, oh, don't mind my children over here.
That's okay.
My other children. She said, I see you out there. I was like, oh my God, she saw me. That means I have to go in. Anyhow, I almost did not do that. And I almost did not change my life for the better because I was scared. And I pushed myself. I literally pushed myself, because in that moment and in that time, I was going through a lot more personal stuff in my life. And I felt alone. I felt like, I mean, I think 2 weeks before that, I was suicidal. So there was just so much that was going on in my life that I felt that I was not worthy to be at that event, to be, you know, representing my business to Nelly Lawn of all people. Mm-hmm. And me going and me pushing myself really was that big moment, because there was 300 women and I was the only one that stood out to her. She made me stay after the event. And then after that, she spoke to me and she told me, "You are somebody. You're going to be somebody. You're going to do bigger and better things. You are worthy." I never heard those words, Kathy, ever.
Oh my gosh.
And, you know, I just, you know, for a woman at that, because again, I didn't have a good relationship with my mother, for a woman, you know, my grandma, obviously, she did do that for me until, you know, we moved away. But again, you lose it all when, you know, you're not around that anymore. So when she told me those words, one, I didn't feel like I was deserving, but two, I was very skeptical. And, you know, it was just like, oh my God.
But, you know, it's such a good point to remember that the moments we spend with people, whether if we're good friends with them or we just met them, they matter. Like, be present in the moment and like look mm-hmm. people in the eyes and recognize the connection that you're making. And I mean, words and actions mean so much. And a lot of times we get so busy, you know, like here Nelly was at this event and she probably was like, you know, crazy running around with all these things she had to do and people to meet. And she, that's what makes her so special, is that she can stop with each person and just be able to connect with them. And I mean, wow, look at the effect that it had. And I mean, she probably lit the spark in you. But Candy, know you. It's like you have that fire in you naturally, you know, because look at now, like your social media following is so huge. And Facebook, it's like hundreds of thousands of people follow you, and on your Instagram vlogs, everything. And you're the go-to person for all of the latest, like, day-to-day trends of how to take a trend and turn it into a edible treat, you know. And weren't you on TV too, right? You were on a show?
Yes, Cake Wars with my fiance John, yeah.
Oh, how fun. Oh my gosh. Can we still see that episode somewhere?
Yeah, so you can find it on YouTube. It is under Powerpuff Girls Cake Wars.
Okay, I definitely want to see that. So
that one was interesting. I was pregnant as well, by the way, so just FYI.
But how cool to have gone from giving away free cake pops to people at Walmart and then to end up on a national TV show and then making this fantastic cake for Nelly Galland and Coca-Cola and then launching into this whole career of now it's, I mean, I think what makes you so special is it's not just your talent with baking, but also with coaching women on, you know, pursuing their passion as a business. And what tips do you have? Like, what are the good things and the bad things about pursuing your passion as a business, like to create it as a side hustle kind of thing? What tips do you have for people who want to get started?
Number one is patience. I know everyone says that, and I know it can be redundant, but patience is pretty much key, and it definitely helps because you can lose your mind sometimes in running a business. So patience, and also and my friend uses this term, you gotta hoe yourself out sometimes. So what I mean by that is doing a bunch of free stuff, because you know we want to do a bunch of free stuff to get to the other stuff. And it's okay, like, yes, your time is valuable, and yes, your self-worth is worth much more. But there's this balance that you have to kind of find within yourself and figure out, if I do this for free, if I do, you know, something for someone, you know, not necessarily wanting it to come back to you, mm-hmm. but one, it makes you feel good, and two, you might get some exposure out of that. You know, exposure doesn't pay the bills, but again, there's pros and cons to running.
Right, yeah.
And patience and figuring out your own schedule. Everyone asks me that all the time. There is no schedule per se. I do what works for me. I do what works for me and John, for me and my family, for our, you know, mm-hmm. family unit. And I want people to understand that their schedule is their schedule. And if it works for them, do not switch it up.
Right.
Because you think someone else's, you know, schedule is going to work better for them.
And I think it's so important that you mention patience first, because what happens a lot of times is people will get an idea or make a decision and they want to act quickly and they want to think, I'm just going to quit my job and figure it out. Or, you know, I need to get, you know, a $50,000 bank loan today, when really it's like having patience to be thoughtful and purposeful and like get that blueprint ready, you know, write out your ideas, what you want out of everything, so that you don't waste time or money. And I know one thing that Nelly always likes to say is, you know, it's better to do it right than to do it fast. And it's a balance of, because I know over at Facebook, they were like, work fast and break things, you know. So there's like a balance between the two of having that patience to know that the opportunity will be there. You work towards it, plan it out, do good for yourself, have respect for yourself, and be patient. Like, that's such a great tip, because a lot of people don't want to have patience. They want to just, like, you know, drop what they're doing and think they're going to make $1 million.
That's not how it works. Even, you know, and Nelly said this, even if you win the lottery, you're going to have to go back and pay your dues.
Right. But, yeah.
But, you know, patience also comes with the trial and error and failing. And we've talked about this before, but a lot of people won't even try because they don't want to fail. And I, you know, I'd rather fail mm-hmm. than not try it at all.
Oh, yeah. You fail and you learn from it. You know, I'm always coming up with ideas, and for every 10 ideas, 9 of them suck and, you know, fall flat. But all it takes is one to connect. And
oh, I've gone through so much cake. Yes.
Yes. And what are some of the things for people who love to bake and are thinking that maybe they want to start a side business selling cakes or doing custom cakes? There are some specific rules that go along with that. And I overheard you talking about this recently, and my mind was blown. I had no idea, like, all of the guidelines that go with baking a cake and selling it. So what are some of the top tips that people should know if they want to start selling their cakes that they bake?
So if they're going to start a side hustle, a business, and this goes for any food that will be coming out of their home, and if you want to be an in-home baker, you definitely got to go through your food and cottage law, and your health department can help you out with that, whatever state you are in. You can also Google it, and I also have a lot of references and a lot of tips and websites and whatever you need, you know, on my website. So if you need help getting somewhere or going somewhere for certificates, you know, just shoot us an email. So definitely you gotta follow the food and cottage law. So we can't use real butter in Arizona. We can't.
Really?
Or milk in our frosting. Mm-hmm. Yeah, let that sink in. So,
and that's unless you have like a brick and mortar bakery that has like the kitchen and all of that kind of stuff.
So when you have a brick and mortar and you have, you know, your overhead, you have bills and you have insurance and you have all that, you're not going to want to make buttercream from butter because it's just not cost effective. So what big bakeries or, you know, small bakeries that are brick and mortars, they use bucket buttercream, which is just as tasty if you flavor it right. And I go over this on my YouTube channel as well. That's what they use.
And that doesn't have milk or butter in it?
No butter.
Oh, okay. That's a good shortcut.
And they just recently, also in Arizona, said that we can't use meringue powder because it's an egg white substitute. I mean, there's just so much going on. So when you want to start selling cakes out of your home, you definitely have to know your cottage law. You definitely should take a health and safety class because that will be a must. It's not a must right away, but that class, even if you're not going to sell food out of your home, that class was so informational. I would do it. I mean, you do it every 3 years, but I would do it again because it's jam-packed full of knowledge and I love learning. You'll learn about, you know, businesses, you'll learn about other people, but you'll also be in a classroom full of other people that are getting into the food business that you can network with. Mm-hmm. So,
and if you're a food blogger, you can just make it at home and give people the recipe and the idea. So that's why I like blogging, because then I can just make it and then I can just eat it at home and then just put out the recipe for people to get inspired by.
Well, and again, I, like I said, blogging, YouTubes and all that, it's a great way to make money. But if you're trying to open a brick and mortar or have a studio within your home, definitely look into the food. That's where you would go first. And a lot of people get intimidated by that because they don't want to do the test or they don't have, you know, the $100 to pay the fee or it really is an investment, and it saves you as a business owner, and it saves the client, whomever, because you just never know what can happen. Never know.
That's good to know. That's a great tip. And now, if you don't mind, I'd love to ask some cake baking tips. What is your foolproof method for frosting a cake? What is something you can share that beginners can try so it will just look fabulous?
You are funny, Kathy. I hate making buttercream. So my love for not wanting to make buttercream led me to the bucket buttercream from Sam's Club, which is phenomenal. Also, there's bucket buttercream from Wilton. So what I used to do when I sold the cakes, I would mix half homemade and half bucket, and I would get an ideal buttercream that I like. That was my foolproof method. Any basic all-American buttercream is good for beginners, and then you'd go from there to a Swiss meringue, or from a Swiss meringue you'd do ganache. I mean, there's just so many different elements.
So what is the stuff at the grocery store in the plastic tubs, the little plastic cups? Those, that's buttercream. Okay.
Which plastic tubs are you?
Just like, you know, when you go to the grocery store in the cake aisle and you buy the cake mix and then the frosting and the little container frosting. What is that?
So that is what we call buttercream.
Uh-oh.
I mean, it's tasty too. I mean, everyone has their own medium. I love grocery store cakes. I love homemade cakes. I love cakes I eat at restaurants. I mean, I'm not biased about cakes. I love cakes. Everyone has their happy medium. You know this, Kathy, everyone has their preference. So the ones in the cans are great for microwaving and using as a drip to get a drip cake effect.
Yeah.
So if you can't work with ganache or melted chocolate or make ganache, definitely get a can of buttercream, pour it in a bowl or in a measuring cup and put it in the microwave, and you can drip it over a cold cake and you'll get the drip effect.
I want to go do that right now. Oh my God, that sounds so fun. I wanna see it now. And then with your Mexi sprinkles. Oh my gosh. I'm trying to think before we go on to Mexi sprinkles, if there's any other, you always make sure the cake is super cool before you frost it. And yes. You know, all my life I had just eaten box cakes. And then one year I made a pineapple upside down cake for my husband from scratch. Oh my God. It tastes so much better when it's made from scratch. But you always tell people that it's okay to buy a, because nowadays the grocery store cakes are pretty yummy too. And where you could just buy one already baked and then just do your own frosting decorations on it, right?
So that's from my cake flip video. So I also, you know this, I flip items from Goodwill and vintage stuff and I resell them. And so I said, why can't we do this with cakes? Because, you know, a lot of us struggle to make ends meet, or we don't have enough for ingredients, or maybe we just, you know, don't feel like baking that day and we don't have time, you know. No. So I made a video on flipping cakes and how you can get a grocery store cake and make it your own. I mean,
you can definitely. That is going to be a blog post coming up. I want to try that. That sounds so fun. And what is, I definitely want, check out Candy's, what is your YouTube channel?
It's Candy Queen Bee Baker.
And
it's,
you have the all the cake flip everything. Stuff on there. Like, you guys, let's go check it out and flip cakes and tag Candy. Now, tell us about Mexi Sprinkles. This is something new that came up, and they are so cool.
So Mexi Sprinkles came out of the necessity of wanting something different, you know, because now I don't make cakes for clients. I just create content and I just am creative now, because how awesome is life? So I get to be creative with different mediums. So I was looking for some sprinkles online and I did not see anything for, well, you know, we're Hispanic. I love pan dulce. I love my grandma. Her name was Guadalupe, you know, and I just got all these ideas in my head. And John told me, he's like, go for it. Do it. See if you can make it. And I've recently came back to sculpting. So I've been sculpting a lot. So I started sculpting my own little miniature figures. And from there, I was like, okay, I can do this. And I'm going to create these miniature sprinkles for, because they're not out there. They were basically something that I saw that was not out there. And I said, why don't I put them out there? And holy moly, they have been taken off. This is crazy.
I know. They are so cool. Like I told you earlier, I want to use them for crafting. So you can look up the Instagram account, Mexi Sprinkles, and you can see all the array of them. You could go to Candy's website. What is your website URL?
QueenBeeBakers.com.
QueenBeeBakers.com, and you can buy them there. And what are some other cool things you want to share about what you have going on?
So, in this awesome, ever-evolving business, I, you know, teach classes. I'm going to be doing a tour for young women, young business owners, even men, because, you know, sometimes I feel young men feel ostracized because women are kicking ass. But we're going on a tour to basically empower people. And this is going to happen sometime next year, I'm hoping. And just, you know, talk about business and really get down to the depth of why you're running your business and the way you're running your business and how the way you're running it is affecting your business. Because we talked about this earlier and I didn't get to tell you about this, Kathy, but what I want people to understand is, you know, from their childhood to their adult life to whatever they're doing or whatever's impacting them right now is what's going to impact their business as well. So, I basically am putting a group of people together, and we're going to go talk business, but we're literally talking to the mind, the spirit, the body, the soul, because if you're not right within yourself, and if you're not happy, your business is going to also portray that.
Oh, exactly. That is so true. A lot of people don't realize that, and then they get disappointed. You know, they think that they're expecting one thing and something else happens, and everything has to be aligned together and focused. And even if there are different directions, as long as they're unified in some positive way, that's how to make it happen.
And let me just add, I don't expect anything that I do, I never expect for it to per se blow up or be a hit or be great or any of that. Like, I never expect for you to do me a favor because I did you a favor. Like my children, I don't expect them to live up to my standards that are in my head, because I would never portray that to them. Killing the expectations has really transformed my life. I just needed to put that out there, because I feel like a lot of people expect their husbands or wives.
You know, I've been working on this interview tonight, like answering some questions, and that's one of the things. I swear we're like so much connected with things. Like, it said, like, what do you think is the secret to success? And I was like, releasing expectation. Mm-hmm. Because if you can release expectation, you're just doing things because you love to do it. It's very pure. And I love the feeling of just doing things because I feel compelled to do it, or to help someone, or to share an idea. And I don't expect anything in return. Like, and stuff does come in return from all different angles, from different ways. It doesn't, like, things don't have to come directly from the person that you helped. Like, sometimes it comes from someplace. It's just like, there's no set way about it. And it's when you release expectation and just do it because you love to do it and you want to share it, then you don't get disappointed. You know, it's like, and it's a long time takes a long time to get to that point, you know? And we were talking about,
I think if you work on your mental wellness and focus on your, I like to say your sanity, because sometimes all the noise can cloud your head and you can mm-hmm. Once you start focusing on your sanity and like just having 15 minutes by yourself, and I tell the girls this all the time, you know, try to take 10 minutes, wake up earlier if you have to, go to sleep later. I mean, just do what you have to do. Give yourself 10 minutes of clarity and just focus. I think the more people do that, the more people will be more productive and happier.
Yes. And there is actually a playlist on Spotify I love. It's called Guided Meditation. And I will put that on before I go to bed. And it's like 15 minutes long. There are all these different episodes that are 15 minutes. And it just takes listening to a couple of them. But it really helps me calm down from the day and puts me in the right place before I go to bed. And I wake up feeling refreshed and complete and, you know, ready to start the day. And so that's just one little tip, you know, like it's so true. Like, you have to take time just to stop, and the world will continue. That, you know, especially if you can plan it into your schedule, it makes it even better. So you don't feel like you're stealing 10 minutes and feel guilty about it. That defeats the whole purpose. Plan it into your schedule, put it in your appointment reminder of, you know, that this is 10 minutes at this time is going to be my time just to sit down and think about all the good things that happened today. And, mm-hmm. you know, balance everything out, because we always seem to get stuck on the things that bug us. But I've learned that if you take note of everything, you'll find more good things that happen than bad things that happen. It's all perspective.
Oh, yes, 100%. And just to add to that, I figured out how to get my 10 minutes. So if we go to the store and we come back and we're in the driveway, everyone leaves the car and I stay in the car. That's my 10 minutes. I stay in the car. I do my clarity, my social media, what I'm going to do next. If I have to, I'll go in the car. I have a 1-year-old, I have a teenager, and I have an 8-year-old. So it's like, I'm all over the place. And so that's my time, the car. And I'm okay with that.
That's awesome. Well, Candy, thank you so much for taking the time to do this podcast and sharing so much great information. You guys, make sure to follow Candy Queen Bee Baker. You can find her on Facebook, on Instagram. QueenBeeBakers.com is her website, and just so much great info. And I love your vlogs and your memes and all the different characters you do. She does some comedy ones too. Just so creative and fun. And thank you so much, Candy.
You're very welcome. Thank you for having me. And remember, never give up.
Yes, great, great, great parting words. You guys, thank you so much for listening to the Crafty Chica podcast. I think this is our record for the longest podcast of this series so far. And I'm so happy about that because it was all such great information. I know I personally want to go get a cup of the frosting and put it in the microwave and pour it over a cake. I am so doing that for a video or a blog post. And Candy, I will totally tag you on that. Thank you. See you soon, guys. Don't forget to check out craftychica.com. And please, please, please leave a review on iTunes if you like this podcast and share it with your friends. Thanks, guys. Bye.